We need new heroes. Ones suited for the times we're in. Courageous, righteous, the best in all of us.
The danger with superheroes, they become icons. Wars are fought. Movements are formed.
People need something to get behind.
And we're going to do it our own way.
Non-tour symbols are dead and replaced.
You okay?
She will escalate and will not stop.
The only power I have is that I believe we can do better.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, April 25th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, I need you to go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to the next level, if you want this show to have your varsity, no, how do you do that in high school? It was like, if you like somebody, you could pin them and then they'd wear your varsity jacket. Mm-hmm. I screwed that up. But this, if you want to take your love, right. I think I did it okay. If you want to take your love, yeah, if you want to
varsity
take your love,
jacket, that's right.
You wear the varsity jacket. If you want to wear the varsity jacket, you need to go over to patreon.com/mundane.
Or your band jacket or your choir jacket.
Nobody did band or choir, Randolph.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
I'm going to be like Bobby Lee and say, don't talk until I introduce you.
They did those things. You got to look out for the nerds.
For the nerds. I was one, but we never
did
it.
You didn't get a theater jacket?
We didn't. We got a day off after the spring musical, though.
Right, what y'all get science class? Y'all didn't get a jacket or nothing. I know you were in some sort of a science club, computer club or something. Rod.
Oh, Rod?
Nah, you just give them your mathlete certificate.
Okay.
I was in National Honor Society. We just got the little sash at the end. But if you really care about this show and you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to the next level, I need you to go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. $3 a month when you subscribe, bonus content. Hours and hours of me talking to people like my guest and me talking about myself, me doing indie movie reviews, all that good stuff. Thank you to Ariel for subscribing today. Really appreciate you. This is episode 501. I have two super special return guests, Randolph Terrence from the Three Guys On podcast and Rod Morrow from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast exclusively. Exclusively on Spotify. Guys, how are you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Good.
I'm super excited to have you here. You guys here, we're going to be talking about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Everybody loved our Lovecraft Country Roundtable, and I thought I'd gather you guys back to talk about this show, this limited mini series on Disney Plus. And why don't we just start with your overall thoughts. Randolph, why don't you go first?
Well, Rod, why don't you go first? I need to...
Rod, why don't you go
looking
first?
Looking at my power... Not to fuck you up, Chris, but I'm looking at my power supply and I need to plug in.
Okay, so, that's all right.
So I loved it. I thought it was great. It exceeded my expectations. I thought it was a lot more in line with the mainstream Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. As far as, I thought WandaVision was a little weird. And I could see people going, well, I tuned in for the Marvel, for the Marvel shit. And this is like I Dream a Genie. this one felt a lot more like if you're coming from the Marvel universe of explosions and kung fu fights and superpowers, it was exactly what you wanted out of it. And of course, everything they touched on from the topic of race and racism, it resonated with me honestly even more than Black Panther. because there was a specific Black Americanness that this was about that just spoke to me.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that I wanted to discuss. And after we just kind of go through this, and Randolph, you can share your thoughts on it too.
Talking to your mic, Chris.
And you can share your thoughts on it too. And I felt like it was definitely an American Blackness that was being discussed. And one of my favorite scenes between Isaiah and Sam was just the young and the old talking about race and talking about what it means to be Black in America. It was fantastic. And it's something that Black Panther, it was a different type of Blackness that was being displayed. So can you just go a little more in depth on that, Rod? Your thoughts on that?
Well, Black Panther to me felt like the discussion of what is it like to be left behind, mm-hmm. Which is a different discussion than one of like, what is it like to be Black here? You know what I mean? What is it like to be a citizen of a country that predicates so much of its value on your less than citizenry, you know, less than citizenship? So I thought that's what this one nailed. And the parallels between real life and the Marvel Universe was, you know, with Isaiah's past and what happened to him. Ironically, I was watching them, and them had an episode where they talked about mustard gas being used on Black soldiers. And I was like, oh, is this something they made up for the show? I go look it up. No, they did that shit. So shout out to them. I learned something I would not have learned. As much shit as I read, I've never read that, and I wouldn't looked it up. And this felt like an allegory for that. You know what I'm saying? Like what happened to Isaiah Bradley as a soldier and a citizen, and how he was experimented on, seen as what do you call it? Disposable. And all that shit, this, it really struck home with me, man. And then the weight of the shield that Sam picks up at the end, that's how it's supposed to feel. And I was worried they wouldn't be able to do that in a TV show the way they did in the comic. But, you know, I saw some people that didn't like that he picked up the shield or whatever. But I was like, no, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Do you believe a man like that could do it? And if he did it, do you believe and understand the weight and the conflict of doing that? And that's what the whole thing should have been about. And it was.
Right. How about you, Randall?
Well, it's interesting that Rod talks about, can y'all hear me okay?
Yep.
It's interesting that Rod talks about the weight. By the time he picked up it's you saying that made me think about this. By the time he picked up the shield, the weight was gone. It was light in his hand. Mm-hmm. By the time he picked it up, it might've had weight before that. Mm-hmm. But by the time he was, after everything he'd been through, after listening to Isaiah, after making the decisions in his mind, after getting that the dope Wakanda tech, by the time he put that he picked it up, it was weightless. At that point, it was weightless, and I think that's because you make the decision that this is not going to hold me down. You know, we talk about that a lot, about they want to hold us down. And we all know who they are. They want to hold us down. And at some point you make a decision that the gaze of them is not going to hold me down, because he says, I can feel you looking at me, you know, in that monologue he does, but that's not going to stop me. It would have bothered him before, but he made a choice that this is not going to bother me. I feel you looking at me. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. That's freedom. I don't give a fuck. So I think the part of the story is him becoming free to accept the mantle and do what he wants. As he says, I fought for this country, and I'd be damned if someone tells me I'm not going to be able to pick this up. Isaiah Bradley had a whole different experience. In his experience, of course, he's coming out of his experience on the other end thinking, fuck this. You know,
right.
Any Black person of a certain age who thinks like that, I'm like, yeah, yeah, of course you think like that. Of course you think like that. But they generally don't want us to think like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's almost like, because of you, I have to go to the next level. I have to carry the baton and move it forward.
And 40 years from now, Sam might feel that way. But the point is, you have to try. And that was what Sam got to, was like, why would I not try? Because it went through every iteration. When he just refused to pick up the mantle, well, look what kind of person picked it up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's Isaiah did try. Isaiah tried and was betrayed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he has every reason to believe that. Isaiah did exactly what Steve did.
Yep.
But he was betrayed. Overall, I thought that from the first scene, from the scene of him stepping out of the helicopter, the first scene, I thought, okay, this is something we haven't seen. It's definitely something we haven't seen a black man do.
Right.
just that scene. I felt kind of the same way I felt when I saw Blade for the first time. Like, this is something you haven't seen a black person do.
Yeah.
not like this, you know. When he's flying around and he's highly intelligent. And then when you see the scene in the bank, and Rod put it best, and was like, oh, y'all gonna go there with it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're going there. Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. You know, the scene that he's getting fucked over by the people in the bank. You know this guy saved your world.
Right.
You know this guy, and he can't get a loan.
But can I get a picture with you? Can I get a selfie?
Can I get a picture with you? If you're the lone guy, you don't just push that shit through. You just don't push that shit through. You don't do that for him.
It's such a black show, and it's such an American story, a black story. It was just so rich, and to see it on this level, it was amazing. It's really amazing what Marvel and Disney have done. And it's gonna impact a lot of people. Like I've got this the TV running in the background where Isaiah sees his statue. And that's why I told you guys this morning, like Friday morning, I was like, I almost lost it. Like
I teared up, bro. Yeah. I got dusty.
Yeah. Same thing. I got up and watched it too. Same thing.
Yeah. I was like, bro, you acknowledge just, cause like black people didn't ask for everything. We just want the acknowledgement.
Exactly.
What was
you know what I wanted? And I said it. Mm-hmm. I just there's no way they were gonna do this.
Yeah.
But I wanted Steve
to and Isaiah.
Just for them to be together.
Yeah.
I don't need them saying anything or anything like that. I just wanted them to be together in a scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they
would have loved that.
If they I was like, oh shit, they can put them here. They could put them here at the Smithsonian. Cause Steve's got his shit over there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Isaiah. And the thing about that for them to give me Steve was that's what Steve would have done.
Yeah. And you know, they got a season 2. And so we might get something. Cause they said also they're not done with that character.
Isaiah?
Maybe
they give it to us. I would have loved to have.
I would love to see that.
That's what like Steve would do.
A younger him? Like a younger Isaiah? Like, just...
No,
like
at that age. Is
old people.
This age.
Wow.
You know.
Like them, old Steve talking to Isaiah would be a
Steve saying, I didn't know they did that to you. Yeah. Steve wouldn't have gone for that.
No, he wouldn't.
That's not who Steve's is. That's not who Steve is. Like, I'll break you out. Right. If anything, I'll break you out. And then it would have been Steve and him together, you know, that I would have loved to have seen that scene.
And I love at the end how it goes Captain America and the Winter Soldier, like because Sam is now.
Yeah, I took a picture of that with the morning sun coming in on the television. I took a picture.
It's so cool because I think
when that dude walks up and goes, "Who are you?" He's like, "I'm Captain America." And I was like, "Exactly. Let's go."
Yeah, right. So it's like, because I think about it as a kid, like I had David Vonner, who's a toy designer. He was in that Netflix series of Toys That Made Us, and we were talking about action figures and black action figures, and we never had anything really. And he was like, you remember Sun Man? I was like, yeah, but I'm like, it was like trying to be woke or like.
Right.
Gonna be all these things. It's like just have like a regular dude that's black. Yeah. And like I think that's Vulcan. I think that's what happened with this. It was just like, and the best stories are hero stories is the reluctant hero.
And
Sam was that reluctant hero where it was just like, I don't know, this is too much. It feels like this should be with somebody else. And all along he had to realize who he was. And I think I think one of my favorite moments was, when was that, episode four, when he was practicing with the shield?
Five.
And he's at home and everything. And he told Bucky, you can't stop. You can't, what did he say? You can't be looking for people. You have to do the work, and you can't have people telling you who you are.
Right.
Like, you have to step up. And that's him.
He's saying that from experience.
Yeah. Exactly. From, yeah.
I'm telling you what I went through.
Well, that's also what the show got about the character that I think only this and Winter Soldier really understand about Sam. Sam is basically a therapist.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about that because, like, Damon wrote on Very Smart Brothers about Sam. We got to talk about how Sam just can't fight. Sam keeps getting worked.
Yes, he's
holding his. He's holding his own, but right, he's getting worked. Right. Yeah. In the end, he's getting worked. And like, well, and it was Chris who reminded me. It was like, you know, he was a therapist not even 20 minutes ago.
he was
a therapist.
That's exactly what I was. And this show, but more so than just the fights, they understood that about the character in the dialogue,
right?
Like, if you look at how he approached the main bad guy,
Carly.
If you look at how he approached Carly Morgenthau, you look at how he approached Bucky, mm-hmm. if you like the way he was talking was about rehabilitating them, it was never about jailing them, it was like, how are we going to convince this person to pick the better thing? And that's what he was doing in Winter Soldier. But it seemed like after that, of course, none of the shows are dedicated to him. So after that, he just kind of became the guy with the wings that flies around.
Yeah.
And this got back to who is Sam as a person, what makes him unique.
Yeah.
Right.
It was great. Right. I'd love to see an HBO series of Sam
in treatment.
Yeah.
Dude, I forgot to mention one more. And Isaiah. That's another one he was trying to, like, have a breakthrough with. He wasn't able to necessarily get it, but it was like he was always in therapy. Well, he was trying, but
Isaiah was like, listen, boy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have made my choices.
But did you peep how Sam listened to him?
Right.
Yeah. Like, he didn't just go, man, fuck with this old man. He was like, he that part where I think they even cut away from it, but where he brought the shield, but then they sit down and talk, and then it kind of like cuts away, and you just know they probably sat there and talked for hours or something.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. They
so good.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that the introduction of the Isaiah Bradley character again, Rod, it's like, you're going to go there with it. The introduction of the Isaiah Bradley character, the grandson where every comic book fan is like, here we go, here we fucking go, it's about to go down, it's going down in the future, you know, now we see it happening. And the way that the kid in Baltimore said, are you Black Falcon? No, I'm the Falcon. I'm not Black Falcon, I'm the Falcon. You know, that's a shot directly at these old timey comics, more DC comics than Marvel. Putting black in front of everything.
Black Lightning,
who I love, by the way. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, I love it too. Yeah,
but they could have just called him Lightning.
Yeah,
they could have just called him Lightning.
Yeah, they also had like call black kids
like Black Thunder, and you know,
they had a Black Vulcan, I remember, was another one, and Black Goliath was the one in the Marvel universe. So it's just like
Goliath.
Why he can't just why we gotta do this?
He's Goliath. And it's funny, Black Goliath was in Ant-Man 2. That's
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
But they called him Goliath.
Did you notice?
They dropped the black. They didn't
just Goliath.
I'm it's like you don't really need it when there's not 12 Goliaths.
There's only one. We got Goliath, then got Black Goliath. We got White Goliath over there. You got Black Goliath right next to him.
It's not like you was in a situation. Which Goliath? Oh,
I'm glad you brought that up. We're going to Harlem. Get the Black Goliath. He knows exactly where 125th and Clayton Powell. He knows where that's at.
So who all gonna be there at Luke Cage birthday party? Goliath.
Goliath is gonna be there.
I liked Luke Cage, but it was so black in the way where they were like, meet me at the Coretta Scott King bookstore. But before that, I'm going to go over to the Mary McLeod Bethune swap meet. And we're going to, I'm going to get some, you know, a new sweatshirt.
I love Luke Cage. I loved
it too. Yeah, yeah. No,
I love the Jamaican, even though the dude wasn't Jamaican, he wasn't wishing, but
terrible accents and all.
I kind of had the mannerisms down.
Chet Hanks had a better accent than he did.
I love, and they had a good time, you know.
I love that show. I love that series. I just love blackness. So you sprinkle enough blackness on some shit, I'm gonna love it.
And if it's fun blackness too, I love it.
Did you guys get mad when Sam didn't get the bank loan? Because I was almost like, fuck this show.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck this show.
But I wasn't ready to step away because I was like, oh, that's real.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's real. I'm not.
That's how my brain thinks.
I'm not running away from this. That's real.
The shit I don't like is kind of counterintuitive to what most people would think, but I don't like when shows pull up short of how fucked up white supremacy
blackness.
Is.
Don't short me on blackness.
Go ahead and twist the knife. I know you're not doing it to hurt me on purpose, but you're doing it to be like, well, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't hit me with the bullshit. Like I hate when there's a TV show where like, maybe there's like a cop that's about to kill a black kid or something. And then there's like another cop that's like, no, what are you doing, Jim?
Right,
That don't happen.
That don't happen at all. It's like, well, Jim, I guess we're going to have to falsify this report. Just write down how you think it went, Jim. And I'll
kill that
you.
Kid that has that scholarship to the Ivy League school.
Like they be like, Jim was just the one bad officer. But now that he's gone, that's not true at all.
Yeah.
So I was with it. I was like, oh, this is real right here. They ain't running away from this shit at all.
It was so good. What did you guys think about Scott Walker? It's Scott Walker.
Oh,
he's now US agent.
US agent.
Now. Yeah.
Great casting. Mm-hmm. I really wonder how casting went. Like, did they tell him, like, dude, you just got a face, we want to punch?
Yeah.
And there's no offense to you. You know.
You don't think I look like my dad? No, we don't like your dad from ever since Tombstone. We don't.
For some
like
reason, when we put this helmet on. Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Because he just had a face that said, don't trust this white man.
He
delivered in everything.
You know the funny thing about him is that he's not untrustworthy.
Right.
He's just a damaged guy.
He's a white man.
Yeah, he's just a damaged dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I was going
to
say, though.
He's a damaged dude who might have been allowed to come to the cookout. He's that guy.
That's what I said, Randolph.
You
when
don't
I watched
think
it,
Lamar's
I said,
life mattered?
Right. I said, isn't it funny that we've accepted that he's such a bad guy? It's mostly based off his look, if we're being honest, and the fact that he's not Steve. But mm-hmm. I was like, isn't it funny? His trigger was they killed his black friend, and now he's ready to kill everybody.
His black friend.
I love that energy.
His black friend. His black friend whose parents he went to.
Yeah.
He went to the hood, you know.
Big fan of his energy.
He was dapping up the band leader. This is a dude who's
really he had like a black wife.
Yeah. I'm like, he's just a damaged dude, an Afro-Latina wife looking at her. Yep. He's just a damaged guy.
I was a big fan of his energy. Even when people were telling me how terrible he was, I was like, I mean, I kind of like the idea of a dude that'll kill a motherfucker if you fuck with his black friend, though. Maybe I'm biased.
His weird black friend, like his black friend is like his servant or some shit like that.
Yeah.
That was his homie.
Yeah.
He's the antithesis of I have black friends. Like, he's just like, no, this is my friend that happens to be black.
It's my man's.
One of my favorite scenes with them is when he's talking with Lamar and he's saying, you know, would you have taken the serum? And Lamar's like, hells yeah. I didn't like that line. If he'd have just said, hell yeah, I'd have taken it. But then Lamar's like, you know, it just makes you more of who you are, who you already are. Mm-hmm. And it's like Steve Rogers, Carly Morgenthau, like he made that distinction. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know how many people we could have saved You know, we could have saved more people if we had that serum. That was the first place that he went to. So, you know, like something is pure. And then you take that away. You take like the only thing that's kind of holding them together, even though he's right. married. Right. You take that. He becomes a broken man. Yeah. And I didn't even think about that until
Lamar was his friend, but he was also kind of like his conscience.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
he was. Yeah. Well, now on this, that's what black people do. We're magical.
We do that. Yeah, that's true.
We're very magical.
We're magical like that.
But I do like the idea of what it happens if you kill off the magical Negro and the lessons don't take. Because most fiction, when the magical Negro dies, the white person starts living by the lessons that they learned from the magical Negro. Right. In this case, my man was like, man, fuck them lessons. Y'all killed Lamar.
Yeah.
Lamar's life mattered.
And then Carly was like, no, not to my fight. It doesn't. No.
I believe all lives matter. He was like, no, bitch. You're going to learn today.
One world, one life. Not today, bitch.
Mm-hmm. One life. For your life.
It's funny how I knew like that his black friend, but just like rewatching it, I was like, oh yeah. And now hearing you guys talk, it's just like, oh yeah, they broke him because they killed his black friend.
Black friend. You know,
no, I was like, they wrote that character because someone told me, I forget who it was. I think I saw it on Twitter, but they were like, why are they acting like this character? Cause he like, I think he like head nods at Sam at the end, like, you know, whatever. And they're like, why are they acting like, you know, hit this character wasn't just an evil person? I was like, because he killed his black friend and he whooped some people's ass.
Yeah.
Kind of not. Because he's kind of not.
I mean, I'm not saying he's better than Steve, but I mean, in a pinch.
No, he's not.
In a pinch, you know what I'm saying?
Except for Sam. There's no one like Steve. You know, the thing is that he became a damaged person in service of this nation.
Right.
So what does that say about this nation? It's not about him. He was damaged by this nation, and this nation threw him out.
And he's essentially, the allegory here is he's essentially the cop that would go too far. So that's why we would not supposed to like him. I get that he's not a hero, but it's also like he went too far because you killed his black friend, though. So
yeah.
I'm not saying he's right.
You can't let that go, can you?
Yeah, I'm not saying he's right, but I understand.
But he's still damaged by what happened in Afghanistan.
He touched on it briefly.
And it just he was PTSD just saying, because he's like, yeah, they gave me these medals because they're trying to hide, you know, trying to I guess pacify him for what happened over there. And he's, you know, broken up about that. And to top it all off, you kill his black friend.
It's so funny because the core of Sam's character, right? A lot of the shit in this film, in this series, is all about the lack of treatment for the people that go and fight these battles.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's essentially what happened with Bucky. He's in this therapy, he's not really breaking through. He's not really doing the work.
Oh, it's supposed to be doing. He's just not. The therapy is breaking through completely. Mm-hmm. He just don't want to do the shit that the therapist is
exactly.
Do this.
Yeah.
But it took Sam's therapy.
He knows what he's supposed to be doing.
It took Sam's bonus therapy. You know what I'm saying? That alley-oop therapy to be like, listen, dude, I'm not like your girl in the office. I'm gonna tell you straight to your face. You need to do the work. Yeah,
and I like the girl in the office. I was like, she was she's good. Real.
I love that scene between the two of them where they had to sit face to face and talk to each other. Like the whole buddy cop thing, they're definitely playing on that. And I loved it. And
they have some good chemistry stuff. Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie.
What I would like was there was the scene after Sam did his monologue at the end and he says, you know, I stopped listening. I think I'm at the point with movies where I want to see men embracing other men for doing what stuff like that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's always a thing of we have to play it as a joke between men.
Oh yeah.
But that comes from actual manhood. Like you just can't compliment somebody. You got to do something else.
Right.
You can't. If you compliment me, you might think I want to have sex with you. Some shit. Right.
You
know, it's I would like to. That's probably me going too meta with it.
Mm.
And that's more about me than it is about.
But because, like, didn't he tell him something about how he looked good in a suit or something like that? That with the new suit?
Did he tell him that?
I thought he said it. Or maybe he meant good, he looked good doing the speech or something.
But yeah, he said, you know, I tuned out halfway. You know,
yeah.
I tuned out halfway through it. I'm like, just tell him the shit's nice, man. That's some good shit right there, boy. Shit like that.
Also, it was that awkward thing where, like, Sam just talked a lot about blackness and shit. So you can't be too familiar. You know, you don't want to be like, man, I feel exactly what you're saying, dude. I know, I've been there. Like, you got to kind of do the, like, white man, like, I understand your passion.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable with this.
Yeah, but I don't want to say why. I just say.
By the way, I want to have sex with your sister. So
I was going to say that. Exactly. I'm going to ask you.
How my stepson is doing?
you could totally see that he.
You know, Sam, I'm about to send them boys to college.
Yeah. Hey man,
I was able to get the loan.
You know? she was coming on to him first though.
Yep.
But I
would have written it like where he hits her with the line, "Hey, I'm James. How you doing?" I would have written that line. "Hey, I'm James. How you doing?"
I'm James.
Oh, really, James?
That's perfect.
I love how James. Oh my God. What is her name? I gotta say her name. You guys keep going.
Oh yeah.
I remember her when she popped up in Pariah.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen her since then. I thought Pariah was such a great movie, and I hadn't seen her since then.
Adepero Oduye. Yeah. And she's gorgeous.
She been working a lot.
Yeah, she's been working. I'm trying to see what else she's been in. But this is, I mean, this is a big deal for her in this.
Yeah, but she was really good, and she'll be back, obviously.
I loved her in that scene with Carly when she calls her up.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, like, oh, is Sam working for Captain America now? And she said, well, who would you choose? And then she says, my world doesn't matter to America, so why should I care about its mascot? I was like, damn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was like some real shit.
And that was the scene for me when Sam walked up to her. I was like, yeah, because I know exactly how to say, okay, bitch. Okay, little bitch, this is what you want. Fine. Yeah. You call my sister, you threaten my sister and my niece and my nephews. Fine, bitch. This is what it is.
Right.
This is what it is. Fine. Yeah. Wow. Now you get what you get.
It was wild too, in the final episode when he came up with the outfit and the shield, and she goes, so you put on like damn. Like like she's a fucking terrorist, and she's like, I'm disappointed in you, black man. I'm like, damn. God damn.
Even though I'm racially ambiguous, I'm disappointed.
I can't believe you fell for the bullshit.
I keep calling her my daughter. I said, oh, look, my daughter.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. She's in Han Solo.
From that. That's why I started calling her that then. I was like, oh, look, my daughter.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, Ava May. Look at the princess. Oh, you're fucking up the whole revolution.
Look at my daughter.
What did you think of her as a villain? I've heard places where they try to say she wasn't as formidable, but she's a killer. She's blowing up buildings.
That's the thing where you're supposed to be conflicted about her. I don't know how conflicted I am about her. She is a killer.
She's super. Yeah. She is likable. Like, because
well, it's the Killmonger thing.
She will kill you.
It's the Killmonger thing.
Yeah.
It's not so much that she will kill you. She will kill innocent people.
Right.
I can't fuck with you if you're willing to kill innocent people.
It's the Killmonger thing where Killmonger makes great speeches. Killmonger makes great points.
Killmonger
will take it too far.
He killed his girlfriend.
Right.
He killed an elder black woman who was just working in a garden.
Right.
He killed two black women in that movie. Oh, he's so sexy. Like, he just fucking murdered people that look like you.
Yeah.
Still, but he said, hey, auntie.
Yeah, you know that's what I'm saying? Like,
you know, so I can't. She's young. She was a young girl who. And that's the thing about the super soldier serum is what happened. I think Rod froze. Rod, are you there?
I'm here.
I saw your eyes just blink. What happens when you give the super soldier serum to a young person who's not a fully formed human being? What happens to them? I thought that a lot after that. What happens to them?
Well, you were giving it to people who are displaced refugees or the 5-year snap.
Right.
And I love that this universe, because I really thought they would do some shit of going, how do we fix the snap thing? Like, right. I thought that was the first thing they were going to do is like, look, we don't want to deal with the 5-year gap. It's at some point, it's not even funny. It's just a hindrance to all our plot lines. And no, they have really leaned into this thing. Yeah. The Spider-Man that came on after this,
right?
Where they were like, this dude is fucking 21, but now he's in high school with us and stuff. Right. Like, they really leaned into it. And then this, the snap using it to when they justified not giving a loan to Sam. When they talk about people basically coming back, losing their homes, losing everything, having no rights to the shit, and this and now, and what do you do? I really love that they stepped into that. And so she made great points about, and then of course the allegory going to refugees in the world right now, period, not not Marvel. Yeah. I love the allegory of like all these big rules and people with guns telling us what to do, but this is our home. How can
it was
we
like
do
that? Sam said, he's like, you know, you call him a terrorist, you call him a thug, but what are they really?
Right.
They're people like you.
And what do you call your people with guns telling, pointing them at them and telling them where to live?
Right.
What's the line that he says in that big speech at the end? He's like, he's basically comparing Thanos to Carly. Like, he's like a misguided teenager and
an omnipotent god.
Yeah. And he was just saying, like, that's, you guys have the ability to change more than they do. Like, to the GRC. They said, I don't, have you guys heard anything? I was talking to Randolph about it, but Rod, have you heard anything about a whole virus plot line that they cut out of the show?
Yes, I saw a thing about that.
And yeah, so it's like the GRC created this virus and the flag it basically killed the flag smashers matriarch who took care of them and everything.
Well, it was supposed to just rub out this group of people, this undesirable group of people.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they created it, to rub out this undesirable group of people. I don't know if you can introduce that and have a guy like Sam know that this government did that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tolerate that.
But even because of COVID-19,
just putting COVID-19 aside, that's a fairly harsh storyline. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's a hard storyline. It's just that it changes the Sam character and it changes the Bucky character, mm-hmm. you know? Oh, so let me get this straight. The government is killing people? Oh, well, fuck you.
Right.
Fuck your shield. I'm keeping it. I'm now fighting you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Now I have to fight you. I can't. I'm not fighting them. I'm with them. I'm fighting kinda you.
Turns them into renegades. Of
right. Stuff, so that changes the whole. You know what it becomes? It becomes Civil War. When Steve was like, I'm not gonna sign his accords. When right. it becomes that, you know, because they're not those kind of people who are just gonna stand around and go for that.
And they become worse than Hydra, or as worse, or probably right. even worse. Yeah.
Right, right. So people say that they said they took it out because of COVID, but I was like, that's a tough storyline to go down. The government is killing people. Mm-hmm. You sure you want to go down that storyline? Because do you understand the motivations and the drives and the people who your characters are? They're not going to go for it. They have to join those people. So you're right. going to have to write whole new shows here.
And no matter how, even if the terrorists introduce the stuff, if the power broker introduces the virus or whatever, you're also living in a pandemic. Right. And motherfuckers are trying to escape, you know, through right, television.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think they want to see a current show dealing with right. a fucking pandemic. And then also you got the fourth wall being broken, which is we know how people react to a pandemic now. And
right.
mm-hmm. it ain't how it gets portrayed in TV at all.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of motherfuckers like, I don't give a fuck. I ain't wearing no mask.
At least in this country.
Yeah, they're like, other countries are doing right.
This country is fucking it off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time for this shit. I can see them looking at that script like, rip that shit up. Take that
yeah,
scene out.
Yeah.
We're not
yeah.
going to go down this road.
But
it did kind of hurt the show in general with the plot line for the Flag Smashers, because you had the mom just dies and they react as if she's been killed.
Yeah.
Like the matriarch when she passed. And I'm like, why did they act like she was taken take it. They were like, she got sick and died. And it's like, oh, because of the virus.
Yeah.
And then when they were still in vaccines in like episode one, it's like, why are they still in vaccines? Why, like, what specific ailment are, you know what I'm saying? Are they trying to catch this ship in the vaccines? And now we know.
Mm-hmm. The thing about that is if you're going to go that way, don't go halfway. Either make the decision to go with the vaccine plot line. It'd be a mistake.
Right.
Or not. Or just
Well, from my understanding,
don't walk halfway into it.
The problem was they had shot a lot of this shit. And so they took it out, but they could. It was like just because of the way they reshot a bunch of shit, too.
It was too deep.
Right. It was too integral to the plot to take it 100% out. So some elements left had to stay in just because it's like we don't even have another thing to do right here other than make the episode 10 minutes.
And I thought their motivation was fine.
Yeah,
the motivation
it fleshes out. And I see like, why they did it. It's a fine
motivation.
Over the course of this motivation right here is fine. Right. Over the course of six episodes, it fleshes out where it curls enough for you to be like that. That felt weird, but it didn't feel like completely disconnected, because you can make the argument we're just still in vaccines because people need vaccines that are refugees and the government's not giving them to them. The mom dies and she's like the caregiver and she's just mad because look, the matriarch died. I'm mad.
Right. It's an overarching thing that the reason why she died, it's an overarching thing. And I'm mad at the overarching thing. I'm not mad at this one narrow thing of these vaccines.
Right. Yeah. What were some of your favorite moments throughout the series? I felt like this was a show that, you know, you always hear the term
James and Sarah.
you always hear the, you know, this is a 6-hour movie. And this is one of the times where I felt like it was, because there was like a build and like there was like a crescendo and all that good stuff. So what are some of your favorite moments from the series?
Go ahead, Rod.
I mean, top down, hands down, the speech he gave don't I just say they were nailing race in this fucking thing for me?
Yeah.
That speech, because I was like, this is what it all comes down to. Regardless of all the action, all the buddy shit, all the therapy shit, you will ruin the whole series if this speech don't curdle for me. And that motherfucking speech he gave it was about empathy, it was about what the country stand for, it was recognizing the racism in this country and the opposition of a black man holding the shield, like, that was it. And I was like, Anthony Mackie nailed it. Just, that's probably the highlight, number one for me.
Yeah, because you always say this, Rod, on your show, and I think, you know, it's always like, black people, we're essentially the conscience of our country, and we continue to.
Somebody else has said that too.
And
independent of Rod,
Randolph. I mean, you guys have said that. Okay, sorry, I didn't want to have a woke award.
I'm fucking with you now.
No, I don't even. But you know what's funny is I don't really say we're the conscience. I think that's more Randolph than me. I say we're the most American story.
That too.
Okay. We're the story that white people tell themselves they are. That too.
We're the conscience because we're always there, and we make your conscience makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
That's why you don't do the bad things that you do, because your conscience. Now you ignore your conscience all the time, but your conscience makes you uncomfortable.
Like that, that's like what we are. A guy like Sam being Captain America makes sense to me, because a person like Sam and the things that our people had to go through to even be representative of this country, and the fact that, as Randolph alludes to, he brings conscience to the perfect flag,
conscience,
and with knowing what the country is capable of both ways. Like Steve believes what the country is capable of up here.
Right.
Sam believes what the country's capable of up here, but he also believes in what it's capable of down here.
Right.
And that's what the fuck makes it different.
Steve spent 70 some odd years in the ice.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, you can only listen to so much Marvin Gaye, so much Trouble Man. You got to experience it at some point.
Yes.
You can listen to it. It's great, as Helmet said, as Zero said, which we need to talk about at some point.
Yeah.
But you got to experience the Baron. But at some point, you got to experience it.
We're talking about the. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
Because Steve is very much like, when I came in, we were saving the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And without much, because Steve never really had an eye towards racial disparity and all this shit, because he comes in as a kid that's got some type of, you know, that body issue and stuff, gets the vaccine, immediately is in war, immediately gets put in the ice. Like, that was his experience as Captain America. Yeah. It was just like, bam, 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 before he can even wake up to all this shit. You know what I mean? And so Sam has been here, his people have been here, and then talking to Isaiah really just gave him that perspective of like, nah, I don't like, and it made sense. I don't want the shield because I don't want to represent what the fuck this country stands for, because that's bullshit. That's
which makes you the perfect person to take the take it.
What's a hero if he isn't reluctant? That's what Donald Glover said. What's a hero if he isn't reluctant? And I believe in that shit.
What record was that?
Was that from Too Bad for Y'all? I'm blasting off. I'm not Asher Roth. I don't sleep on my bread. Dick Riders taking clowns with Mike Flash. Sometimes I make a nigga feel guilty. I used to sleep with the roaches. It's I think it might be Royalty.
Like his boy Lamar, like my man's Lamar is not a good candidate for none of these people are good candidates for it, except Sam,
who won't do it,
and Steve.
Yeah,
they're good candidates.
And wasn't Sam the one that said on your left in Endgame?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I was just watching that a little while ago. It popped up in my feed again.
Because in Winter Soldier, that's what Steve kept saying to him.
Kept saying
when they were training.
Running. Hey, I ran that run where he was running around the monuments.
That shit was
just runs so by. Him. Like, that's a hard ass run.
Sam is hitting that. Like, Sam is giving you like probably a damn 8-minute mile or some good shit like that, and motherfucking Steve with the super soldier serum give you like a 2-minute mile
on your left.
On your left, watch out on your left.
It's such a, and it just goes back to a remarkable performance from Anthony Mackie that's very understated and not showy, and that speech at the end, like, you have to kind of like, that's a very measured speech, and the hero is not always that interesting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, because he's righteous and all this good stuff, but the way that he's able to take what he did with that role, it's a remarkable,
it wasn't like message, you know what I'm saying? It felt like something Sam would say. You know what I mean? It felt like Sam, because even the way he gave the speech, he half didn't want to get it. Like, it was like, well, fuck it. Y'all putting the cameras in my face. Y'all, you motherfuckers are sitting right here. Because I think it was, they said something about Carly, and that was when
he
was like, well, now that the terrorists have been done, we're going to get guns and we're going
to,
he's like,
hey, bitch, listen to me. You ain't finna call this little girl a terrorist now. Not in my fucking face, you ain't finna do that.
Like, let me stop you right there, player.
I just walked up carrying her dead body, and that's what you're going to do?
Right. Yeah. What did you think of that? Him carrying her body? That's a sign too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was from, somebody pointed out, there's an English guy who does a good wrap up on YouTube. And he pointed out, it was from another movie. It was like the same movie of her, the same scene. They use companion scenes really well. You know, like, here's a scene from this movie, like the fight scene is the same scene as it's kind of the same scene as when, you know, when Cap and Bucky beat the shit out of Iron Man.
Oh, you're talking about heavy spoilers?
Yeah, that Kevin, cat, the English cat. It's a good thing.
Paul. Yeah, he's great.
He was talking about that, about how when he came walking up, it was kind of the same scene. Another scene from another movie. So it's a callback scene, basically. Mm-hmm. So really good with that. I thought it was a good scene. I don't think it hit me as much as it might hit others. But that's just me more than anybody else.
Carrying Carly.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good scene. I was like, oh, he's carrying my daughter. You know, that was a really good scene. I thought it showed his caring for her. Like, he wanted to save her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really wanted to save her.
Mm-hmm.
He might have. I don't know. It seemed to me like she was going to shoot the motherfucker dead. But, you know, he's wearing fucking, you know, Wakanda vibranium tech. I mean, unless you shoot him square in the head through the eye, and I don't even know if the bullet will go through, maybe through the mouth, because that's the only thing that's exposed, he's going to be fine, you know. But the, you know, Sharon didn't shoot her to protect him.
Right.
She shot her to protect herself.
I love that she turned out to be the evil white woman.
Yeah, you know, it's in the comics, she's Agent 13. She kind of goes back and forth.
Right.
Where she's bad and she's good, and she's bad and she's good. So I don't know where they're going with her, you know.
But I liked it. I liked it in this way because the benefit of the doubt that she gets as a white woman.
Oh yeah.
Was tremendous. It felt like that's how it would happen. Yeah. She literally walked out of like Congress like, yes, girl, it's on. We're going to be selling the motherfucking. We can't get the super soldier serum, but I got all the weapons and plans. I'll let you go.
Question is, who was she on the line with?
Right.
This is so funny. Our one of our favorite people, Howard Bryant, he was kind of throwing shade. He said, last night, he said, shot in the gut. Cap, super soldier two times, Winter Soldier lives. Carly, super soldier dies. Batroc, average ass human dies. Sharon, average ass human lives, didn't bleed.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this though.
Of course, Winter Soldier shot Natasha through the clavicle with an AK-47, and she had time to hang out with Fury.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we know that Sharon didn't take some of that serum?
And did Cap actually get shot? I don't remember Cap getting shot.
I don't remember it either, but I just thought it was funny because he was.
It is funny.
But yeah, I mean, shit, we could do that all day with every Marvel.
Oh, yeah, with every
plot armor, dude. If they need you to live, you're going to live.
Yeah.
That's all it is to it. It don't matter how fucked up you get.
We need you for this next shit. So,
like, we done seen almost every Avenger get like what should kill everybody. And they just, nope. I don't know if you heard, but there's a, you know.
Listen, when you saw Thor in space.
Right,
fly up against the fucking windshield and then open up his eye. That eye opens. You know, I was like, that motherfucker can't breathe in no air in space.
And people was mad when Princess Leia did it.
They were pissed. If they need you to live, they need you to live. It's really that simple.
What y'all think of White Boy's Mad?
White Boy's Mad about Captain America?
Yeah,
I don't be paying them attention.
I don't pay them no mind either, but
honestly, man, I'm at the point now when I read them articles, the title where it's like critics, upset with the end of Captain. I just be like, probably racism, not reading.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point, dude?
What critics? I always think, who critic?
Yeah, some dude like
every critic, everybody I know who watched it liked it. So I
one title, one of the titles said reviews for this is the some of the lowest Marvel's ever gotten.
I said
so you telling me racist people mad? And so somebody was like, well, if you read the article, it's not the audience score, it's the critic score. And I'm like, are critics not allowed to be racist?
So critics ain't racist? Okay, like, what color the purple. Fuck? All right.
Yeah, Harlem Knights says hi.
All right.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Hey, look, shit get too black, shit get too womanly, shit get too gay. Yeah, all of a sudden, scores start critically creeping down.
Yeah, they ain't got that sism. None of them got that sism.
No one's racist, no one's sexist, no one's homophobic, but just somehow. The scores creep down.
Not none of them. Okay.
It's funny that you mentioned Harlem Nights because it's I bought it on iTunes a couple months ago. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot how great this was. And then 21% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, wow. Right. Okay. Right. Not my 21.
And then it becomes, and that's the other reason I don't pay attention, because then it becomes this thing of like, I got to go read each review. Point out each one that was right. I'm not doing that, bro. Yeah. I'm just not giving white people the benefit of the doubt.
Here's how diabolical they are. If too many people like it, they will come on to bring the ratings down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how diabolical they are.
They're all gonna go see these movies. They're gonna see, what is it, Shang-Chi? What's the new
Shang-Chi?
They're gonna see that. They're gonna see everything.
And it's that thing too that I noticed that I started peeping a couple years ago, and I don't fuck with it. The term superhero fatigue.
No,
it always starts when they start getting to the black people and the women.
Right.
That's it. Like, it'd be fine for a while, right? Like, all the Avengers, cool, cool, cool.
Captain Marvel.
Right. Once you get to Captain Marvel, Black Panther, like that era of superhero fatigue at the box office, but that movie made $1 billion.
Yeah.
Right. Superhero, so it's like fatigue. It's like four dudes.
Yeah.
it's like four dudes. Because the world went and saw Black Panther.
Every time I saw it,
you didn't like it.
Exactly.
Every time I would go to see any of these Marvel movies, it would be packed, mainly white people. And they were there. Yep. Like, all those dudes were there. Captain Marvel, Black Panther, they were all there.
They wait till some off-brand shit fails, like Men in Black 7, and it'd be like, are we having superhero fatigue? I'm like, right. No.
Right.
Because
yeah.
If it was Black Widow, it would have made the billion. So it's right. Not yeah. Really about the superheroes as much as quality of movie.
In the meantime, I'm like, listen, white boy, right. just focus in on Bucky. He's giving you everything you right. Want. He's yeah. A hero. He's about to bang out this black chick. It's everything you yeah. Want yeah. In yeah. Your life.
Possibly bang the Asian.
None
chick.
Of these shows have
it's everything like, you want.
Shows, none of these shows have no white people in it. So just yeah. Concentrate on the white people.
It's everything you want. So just focus in on that shit right. And leave us alone. You know, you got yeah. Your shit in Black Panther. We gave you something in Black Panther. We yeah. Gave you a motherfucker with an arm that shoots lasers. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Gave you a guy, a hero that flies planes and shit. Just
you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
It's
you
so. It just. I say this constantly on the show. Like all the stuff that black people we consume everything, we consume mm-hmm. All this stuff, and we can immediately see the humanity in all these characters that are presented to us. As soon as the shade of the person isn't white, oh my god, I don't know how I can relate to this person. I don't know. Yeah. Oh my god, I can't compute. Danger.
What was his motivation? I don't know why he would do that. Well, imagine yeah. He was like, white. Oh, exactly. I get it now.
Okay.
Okay, I see.
Same motivation you would have.
Right. Like, oh my god, not guilty. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh my god, it's like Jesus Christ.
shout out to my man Baron Zemo though.
Yes,
yeah, man.
Talk about fleshing out a character.
That's a complex character. I've liked that dude ever since that movie that he made with Thor.
About yes. Daniel Brühl.
Yes.
That's
yes.
JL, so good. One of JL's favorite movies.
What is the name of that movie?
It's Race? Like, Speed or something?
It wasn't Race.
I'll look it up.
I don't think it was Race, dog. No. I'm pretty sure it wasn't that.
It wasn't no, Speed.
It was Race to Rush. Rush.
Rush, yes. I was close. I love that movie.
Yeah. Great movie.
He was so good. So good.
I've liked him ever since that movie.
Me too.
He got off some of the best lines. I'm a lines guy. I
talk
like
about
lines.
That line on the plane, on the private.
Oh,
plane.
About the black,
like iconography and stuff like that.
About Trouble Man.
Yeah, what was that?
Trouble Man is the best. It really lays down the black experience. Mm-hmm. the song lays out the black experience completely, you know, and it's like this guy gets it. Which is why Sam told Steve to listen to the song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you listen to this song right here. You listen to Trouble Man right here. He got off the good line when they're walking about the suit.
Yeah. You
know, I feel like a pimp. Oh, wow. Only an American black person would think that. And I was like, ooh, message. Yeah. Said, that's yeah, your message like, right there. Only an American black person would think that. I was like, ooh,
not,
shit,
no, not message. Even. He took it even further. He said, only in America is a fashion forward black man considered to be a criminal or something yeah. Like that. I was like, what? God damn, yeah. Bars. Can we free this man?
Yeah.
Message.
Do we have to bring him back? Well, I think we should let this man be free.
Props
I forgot
Malcolm
he had killed
Spellman,
King.
Man.
I forgot he had killed T'Chaka. Like about five episodes, and I'm like, why are they so mad?
Why is everybody mad at him? I don't know why. Everybody
seems like a
don't,
good dude to me.
Don't like this dude. You know,
he's just he's a kid.
He's an ends justifies the means guy, and you can't have people like that. Yeah, and ends exactly. Justify the means guys. Ends up with T'Chaka blown up. That's
he's the same happened. as Carly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And which is one of the reasons he recognized the danger he saw she was.
Yeah, he's like, she's dangerous, guys.
Yeah.
I always love how he, like, when they were fighting the Dorma Lage, and he just snuck out. He was
he
like,
just dipped out of the situation.
Sipping his wine, by the way. He sipped his.
Yeah.
He was like, this ain't got shit to do with me.
He just snuck out.
Let me just dip the fuck out of here. I'm like, no, it's all about you. Let me just dip the fuck.
Because there's a limit, right? Because like one another favorite moment of mine is on this episode 6 where Carly's like, you know, it doesn't matter if we die. The move is moving strong enough to continue without us. And her crew was like, I don't know. Yeah, little girl, I don't know. We got, because everybody's face was just so. Their reaction was just like, nah, I don't know about this.
It was dope how Bucky saw through Walker right away, too.
Oh, well, yeah.
Bucky is of that.
Yep.
Bucky could have been Walker.
Yep.
That's why Bucky saw it.
He saw it right away. He was like, that dude is crazy. He's broken. And trust me, I know.
Yeah.
Let me ask
and he
you
he ain't
guys.
Got no Wakanda people helping him not right. be broken.
Let me ask you guys about this. Something I noticed on my rewatch last night. How pissed do you think Sam was when he saw the black marching band celebrating Walker?
Oh, you know how furious I would have been seeing that shit. he was as pissed as I would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, it's made up fiction, and I was pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not even real, and I was like, this nigga
high fiving this motherfucker.
I was in the house.
Don't you see his chin?
You know they probably got a HBCU like to do that. You know, because it's Georgia. Who knows who they got somebody.
Me and Karen was in the house hating on this dude. it's like, man, fuck this dude. And like I said, really not a hateable guy. Like,
it's not his fault. No. That's the thing. It ain't his fault.
Right. Didn't do nothing wrong. And I was like, man, fuck this dude.
They went out and got the best band.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
To welcome him, that ain't
he got
his
an
fault.
Action figure, dog.
Yeah, yep. ain't and his was funny that the band director dapped him up. That ain't his fault.
Oh, was did that happen?
Is it when he walked by to you, he dapped him up as he was walking to the stage?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I forgot. I didn't notice. Okay.
What's funny is if it was Steve, I wouldn't have had a problem with it.
No,
so it's not even like, about his whiteness.
That's all right there, Steve Rogers.
Yeah, like, okay, look at Steve dabbing him up.
Neither would the women of Black Twitter. They wouldn't have had a problem with that.
They wouldn't. Hey, that's America's ass.
They love him, man. Yeah, I thought about that.
That's like, the other reason I wasn't buying it. Like when the woke people tried to act like they didn't like this storyline, I was like, I know y'all niggas didn't have a problem with Chris Evans being Captain America.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
So don't even try this shit where Sam can't be Captain America. You've been cheering for that ass for 10 years. You are not about to pull revisionist history out this motherfucker. Act like y'all ain't been making memes of Chris Evans for the last 2 years.
Yeah. I love
the way Bucky got invited to the cookout.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Literally.
He did, of course. He was there.
To the actual. Now I'm trying to wonder. Did they do that like for us?
Yes, of course they did. Of course,
like,
they
had I'm gonna have him come to the cookout.
He got to come to the cookout, like literal cookout.
You know, mm-hmm. he's playing with the kid. When you start playing with the babies at the cookout,
I'm gonna tell you when he got his invite. When he helped fix that boat.
Yep.
When he picked up the thing off the truck and put it down, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, because that ain't have nothing to do with being a super soldier, fighting nobody. That was just like, man, let me help my man Sam out. You and know, really, like, really let me help his sister Sarah out.
Yeah, as soon as he saw her, she was like, hey, what you doing?
Sarah is going to be pregnant in Captain America 4.
Yep.
Bruh, come on.
Because somebody said on YouTube, like, you know, what Sam is like Captain America because he's right to be Captain America because the boat is broken and the boat is a metaphor for America because the boat was broken and America's broken. And then Bucky helps him. But Bucky.
I'm going to need you to slow down, wokey woke, woke, woke.
Yeah. It was a white dude saying that. It was a white dude saying that. White YouTuber.
Motherfucking Uncle Bucky.
Yeah. It's going to be Uncle Bucky. That's going to be the next miniseries.
Yeah, Uncle Bucky.
Him raising
yo, it's
them
not
kids.
Gonna have no action. It's just gonna be Buck on a road trip
Uncle
with the family.
James or Uncle Jay.
Uncle James. Well, James to Sarah. He's James to Sarah.
That's Uncle Jay right there.
Yeah, that's James. He's James to Sarah.
Y'all let y'all go with your Uncle Jay. He's gonna take y'all to the barbershop. Go with Jay and let him
right. take and a road
be
trip.
Like his the first time they go to the barbershop.
He's about to take y'all to the barbershop.
Somebody's gonna try to sell him some t-shirts. He's like, what? I don't.
No, it goes the other way. He's like, give me two of them t-shirts right there.
They're gonna try to sell him in a, the
give me
Avengers
that, give me that DVD over there.
They're gonna try to sell him the Avengers DVD.
Give me three of them Friday DVDs. What?
That's what we need. The opening scene of season two is him listening to Trouble Man in the car with Sarah.
Oh my God! If they do that, oh my God!
He's like,
Ryan listening to Trouble Man. Oh my God! They ride and she's sitting close to him and they just riding.
Yeah.
They're riding in a Monte Carlo, in a 78 Monte Carlo. Like, where you get a 78 Monte Carlo, James? Don't worry about where I got it from. It's just
empty Crown Royal bag in the back seat.
And she's sitting right here. They got the seat rest up and she's sitting right here. Just
the crown air freshener in the back in the window. Bag shit, man. Yo,
I don't know how they're going to just right out the box. They came with WandaVision, which was great.
Yeah.
And then they pushed it up another notch.
Yeah.
With Falcon and Winter Soldier. So they run the risk of being anticlimactic with Loki. And then whatever they got coming after Loki.
Well, all you got to tell me, all I need to know is that Gugu and Botha Ross and Loki. So
yeah, I mean, we're all gonna watch.
We're all gonna watch it.
Like we're not gonna watch. We're all gonna watch.
But they had me when they put Gugu in it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I guess I'm watching.
Anticlimactic.
Or as I like to say, Gugu and Botha Ross.
Gugu and Botha Ross.
Oh my God, she is just.
She's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what she plays, but I don't care. I just saw her face. I was like, I'm not even going to research this.
That's the one thing they got with Loki too, is I don't have high expectations of Loki. Like this,
really
when they put Sam in this, when they told me what this story was, I said, unfortunately for y'all, you stepped into my wheelhouse.
Right.
And this can now not end without him being Captain America, or else I'm going to be mad.
Yeah. Right.
So that with Loki, whatever y'all want to do, I'm here.
I don't have any attachment to the Loki character.
Right.
Having said that, I didn't have any attachment to Wanda either.
Yeah, and it turned out to be great.
Well, I did.
Other than it's her, you know, and by her I mean Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
And for
anybody like you know that's check out. Marcy May Marlene, an indie film that was her breakout role. She's an incredible actor, and
fuck her acting. It baffles me how gorgeous she is.
She's amazing.
Her two fucking sisters. It baffles me. I'm like, there could be three of y'all walking around.
Maybe she eats more than them.
Well, that's not even a maybe.
I don't know anything about these white people.
Yeah.
Who are her sisters? Are they
Mary Kate and Ashley? Full House girls.
Those are her older sisters.
Yeah.
It just baffles me. I'm like, these girls are your whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Do you guys have any other moments in the show that you liked? I'm trying to think about. See if I
every action scene I liked.
Especially the scenes of where it's like Sam and Bucky teaming up. Those fight scenes were really good. Really good choreographed. And the way they integrated Sam's wings and suit into the fights, much better than I've seen it in a lot of stuff. Like, Cause a lot of this shit was like Sam ain't got no superpowers.
Yeah.
So every fight he's coming in literally handicapped in the sense of like sporting events. So I'm like, he should be like barely surviving these fights, and he was. But when he held his own, it was like he figured out how to use them wings on motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that Very Smart Brothers, but the thing of I'm tired of watching Sam get his ass kicked every other fight. But it's like y'all saying, you know, he was a therapist about 15 minutes ago, you know.
But so also, that's what makes him a break. Hero. Yeah. That's what makes him a hero. I think for some characters, what makes them a hero is the fact that, you know, it's like they're such a bad motherfucker. But what makes Sam a hero is that he don't got all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he keeps running. Like, low key, him, Hawkeye, Black Widow, like some of these motherfuckers is like, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a god. I call down the lightning from the skies and use my magical hammer to summon it. Okay, what do you do? Oh, I'm a cyborg. I can shoot beams from my eyes. I can turn intangible on a second's notice. I can fly. Okay, and what do you do? I shoot arrows real good.
But I do it really well, dog.
I'm real good. You know, at shooting
low key,
arrows.
they can fight though. I'm like, yeah. Sam yeah. just
Sam don't even
actually
have that.
Sam can fight a little bit,
yeah,
but a little bit.
Yeah. Like Sam, like if Sam was fighting regular dudes,
yo, he'd be whooping their ass. He'd be wrecking shop.
I mean, literally, we start with this motherfucker taking down like three helicopters.
Yeah, he'd be wrecking shop.
But by the time you get to that super serum, boy, it's a different game.
Yeah. He'd be wrecking shop against a regular motherfucker. He'll go in and wreck shop, but
right.
Because it's crazy to me how
up against.
Crazy to me how Carly fucked Scott up a lot of times.
Yep.
He got
super soldier, man.
Yeah.
Until he got that serum, he was completely in the same boat as Sam, but with no wings.
Well, when he got worked by the Dora Milaje,
yeah,
like, they don't have super soldier. I was like, listen, son,
Karen,
getting worked by the Dora, that's not exactly something you should feel bad about.
Right? Yeah, but Karen said it when he got worked. She said he gonna take the serum.
Yeah,
and he took it off screen. So I was like, Karen, I think they would show it when he took the serum. That motherfucker did. He threw that shield and it cracked that concrete. I said, he took the serum. You was right, baby. You was right.
Because he said, because he was like, put down your pointy sticks. Come on. Right.
I said, as soon as I said, and right there, they took his soul. They took his mm-hmm, soul yeah. right out of flawless victory. They took his soul.
He got
right
emasculated. Out of his
chest. Yeah.
You know, on a level he couldn't even understand.
Yeah, but I'm like, listen, son, these are not normal human beings you fucking with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like everyone, I assume everyone, but let's say definitely everyone black, had the same thought when he touched her shoulder.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, that wouldn't, you can see it on Sam and Bucky's face. Like, you shouldn't have done that. Fuck.
Like, now you know you done fucked up.
Both of them was like, oh shit.
Right.
Oh man.
Why'd you do that? You didn't have
like
to
even
that.
They didn't want to fight the Dora Milaje. Like they was like, let's just talk it out. As long as no one does anything, maybe we get out of this without getting fucked up.
Without getting our asses kicked.
Yes, I got to get my ass kicked.
Yeah, because of your ass, I got to get my ass kicked. Right. It wasn't me; it was you.
like they got their ass kicked by the Dora Milaje, and none of them were mad at the Dora Milaje. They were mad at him.
Like, you didn't have to do this. You brought this on.
Bucky got
a fun. If I could put my fucking arm back on. Yep. Thanks, buddy.
Did you know that they could do that? Nah, I didn't.
No.
She's like, no. And she did that Kill Bill. What did the bride do?
Yeah,
to,
she was like, boom, like, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That five-finger dish. That to me showed me how much they cared about Bucky.
Right.
At least Ayo. That showed me how much she cared about Bucky. She was like, I'm just gonna take you out of this fight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You'll just be out. I don't have to worry about.
Well, also
you.
That shows you because somebody I can't remember maybe it was Chris, but somebody was like saying people were complaining, like, fucked up that they would do that to him. And I was like, you mean the brain controlled super soldier that tried to take over the fucking world for Hydra? You telling me you wouldn't put a safety protocol in his arm? You just wouldn't do that.
I didn't even look at a safety protocol. I didn't even look at it as that. I was just like, they happen to know the specs on the tech. That's all. Yeah. they know the specs on the tech.
Yeah, but the fact that
why would I need to tell you that you could take it off?
Right. Well, see, the fact they didn't tell him it to me, I'm giving them the credit. That's a safety protocol. That's you going, look, I'm not gonna tell my daughter the phone tracks her GPS. But do I need to be able to find a yes? I'm not planning to use it unless she do some crazy shit. But you goddamn right, I'm gonna know where you at. Yes, that's gonna. She turned that shit off and was like, "Baby, come ahead and put your arm back on. Yeah. I'm gonna finish whipping his
ass."
And
that's how you. That's what I said. I was telling one of my clients that I said that's how you know that they did care about him. Two things. One, she didn't pick it up off the ground and beat him to death with it. She could have done that. Just pick it up and just hit him over the head with it repeatedly till he died.
Yeah.
And two, he put the shit back on and it worked immediately.
She didn't even take it with her because they could have been like, this is property of Wakanda. This is vibranium, bitch.
We taking that arm and that shield. Fuck these motherfuckers. She didn't do none of that.
She left the shield and the arm for them.
The arm and it worked. She just had. He wasn't walking around with the shit in a sling for the rest of the show. Yeah, you got an arm, but the shit don't work.
And then I love when she told him, "It would be best if you didn't come back to Wakanda for a while."
He was like, "Yeah, all right, she
just
I get
said,
it."
And again, that there's that love again. It's just. For a while, just look, just let things cool off.
Yeah, like it wasn't you banished, but it was definitely like, it's gonna be hot for you back there for a second.
Just let things cool down. You could probably take it. I'm not saying that you can't, but I don't want you to have to go through
it. It's gonna be a little warm back there for a second.
Did y'all see the meme of her and Bucky standing there?
Yeah,
and she says, "James, yeah, who's Sarah?"
That would have been hilarious.
He's just looking,
and then the Curb Your Enthusiasm music comes on.
Right,
Sarah.
Oh man, well, I think he's I really liked it. I mean, I liked Bucky's development too. I like that they got that he got that payoff at the end, telling him telling that guy he killed his son. From him going from if Steve was wrong about you, he was wrong about me, and then all
Steve
that
wasn't
so,
wrong about you, man.
So I like
that. I love that they didn't take it the extra step of like having him walk in that bar and sit down with the dude. They knew the perfect emotional note to hit, like he did the work. But that also means this person would feel a certain way about that shit. And it's not like we're going to be best friends. I have to go
maybe
on
later.
With my life.
Maybe later. Give me
maybe.
Space.
Yeah.
But I like that they didn't force it because I feel like a lesser show has him like yucking it up with the man whose son he killed. And it's like, that don't feel right.
You know what I mean? I thought about that. I was like, that wasn't me who killed your son.
Right.
That wasn't me.
It still would be a lot for that dude to understand it and kick it. You know what I mean? But
you feel exactly how you feel about it.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm very sorry that your son is dead, but that wasn't me that who killed your son.
Yeah, and I think that's where Bucky had to get with it.
Right.
And that was the work he had to do. Cause I think before that he felt that it was him.
Right. Right. Yeah. This is not you. And I think he came to grips with that when he was talking to Helmut. You still have that in you. I'm like, that's not who I am. That's not me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's not who I am. I'm this person. They made me into that. Mm-hmm. But this is who I am. You know, I'm not that person. So, you know, I'm going to live my life the way I am. And this I just happen to have super soldier serum and a fucking vibranium arm.
And this is another series where they hint towards some possible mutant storylines at some point, because Madripoor is heavy in the mutant world.
Right.
X-Men and Logan.
Right.
So another like light touch. You know, the last time it was bringing in Pietro, you know, the X-Men version
Pietro.
Of him.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting to see what they're doing.
It's a
doing
long
there.
Way to go to say Peter, ain't it?
Ain't it?
Pietro. Every time I see it, I'm like, y'all couldn't just call him Peter. You couldn't just do that?
Okay. They always had to do that.
It's a long way to go to call him Peter.
Do you think Torres is going to be the other Falcon?
Yes, Falcon.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like there's a whole nother team. It's like that Falcon, Isaiah Bradley's grandson, whatever his character is. I think it's a Patriot.
Yeah, the Patriot.
Ant-Man's daughter becomes a giantess. I think she's called giantess.
And then I forget what she's called. It's
couple
not
of
that,
other,
though.
And there's a couple of others. So there's a whole bunch of directions they can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they choose to.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of directions they can go, but the shit's right there for the new Falcon. Mm-hmm. So right. I would say go ahead and do it.
And it would behoove them at some point, because you may not be able to keep getting movie stars to do
right
all the Disney Plus shit. But now that you're making these other people stars in right. the show, you could do a spinoff that's The Patriot.
Right.
And it doesn't need to have all the big right. name movie stars, but just get the good budget, good writing. And now you got
yeah. your own. And that's Disney the big Plus thing. It's just give me the good writing and the good budget. Don't right. fuck that off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you right. give me a young actor. I don't care. Yeah. I really like, don't care. Give me a young unknown actor. That's fine. Just like give right me now, good writing and good budget.
Like right now, they're giving us shit that's elevated. So I just don't want to see them slide to like CW budget levels.
Right.
That won't,
right.
that won't work on Disney.
Unless Plus. It's, cool. unless it's, Black Lightning, but yeah. the writing on Black Lightning has been really good.
Really good.
Really black.
I got to get back
really
into
black.
It.
Really black.
You know, that's the thing. It's like I slipped away from it for a while, yeah. but it's the writing it's is so good.
Really black. Really
it's
fun.
Like same thing. The way I felt about Daredevil, like Daredevil right. season one, like if you just give me that, give me an unknown dude. I don't give a fuck. Give me a guy. Right. Oh, I know that guy a little bit. You know, you can give me those people if you give me good writing and a halfway decent budget. And that Daredevil season one budget couldn't have been that big.
Right.
You know?
Well, the main thing to remember, Chris, if you get into Black Lightning, is that it is a CW show. So mm-hmm. I think what happens is people come to it because they're like, oh, blackness and superheroes. And it's like, yes, CW budget.
Yeah.
So don't get too far ahead of yourself, because right. when right. you start hating on the show, just remember you were always watching the CW show.
Well, I liked it. I was never like, I hate it, but I just kind of lost yeah. touch with it. But I'll get back to it. I yeah. watch All American every week. So I
heard a lot of black people love that show, man. I've been hearing a lot about it.
It's a fun soap. Like it's basically a teen yeah. soap. They're all like 26.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's good to see black people doing stuff.
So much black shit to choose from, man. I'm really enjoying this era of blackness.
Yeah.
As soon as Trump got into office, I said it. I said black art is about to go crazy.
You did.
I said it.
Well, do you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap it up on this one? I think this was fun.
Not on this show, man. I think
not on this show. The show was so complete.
Yeah.
So complete good. From beginning to end.
So yeah, I'm sorry to anybody who didn't enjoy it or
I'm didn't not,
like, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm not. Is something wrong when something is wrong in your soul? You were unloved as a child, and I don't give a fuck about you.
Let me
go
ask
eat
you
your sugar grits. Go eat your sugar grits.
You this, though,
go fucking eat your sugar up. Grits. Go on. Go.
Shots
go somewhere and do something with yourself. Go eat your sugar grits, and not drink brown liquor. Go do that.
Wow. I think you're talking to somebody specific.
Randolph Terrence, monster.
You're already talking about Mike B. With
I'm trying to have empathy for these motherfuckers.
I don't.
Randolph, my man, fuck y'all.
This shit is so good. I don't have patience. Yeah,
I hate that there's, I mean, and of course I would not be speaking about races, but I hate that there's anybody that couldn't get behind the show, because I really liked it a lot. I thought it just... Like, you don't have to agree. Like, there's people that are just on some, like, I don't even want him to pick up the shield. I'm like, well, you that's don't have you. To agree that he needs to pick up the shield, but you can agree that the character would. That's what yeah. writing's yeah. about.
Right, right. Well, what do you yeah. think about this? Like, this show was unlike WandaVision in the way that people were trying to predict so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that took away from people really enjoying the show and then just absorbing, taking in what's being presented, as opposed to just constantly trying to predict who's going to be on the show, what's going to happen, where's Mephisto, all this shit. With this one, I think some of that boiled over a little bit, but not too much.
Well, there's a price to pay for being what WandaVision was, which is the reception to that finale was so fucking atrocious. People were so pissed about that finale because it didn't live up to their fan fiction that they had no reason to think would happen.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It was good.
I thought it was amazing. It was great.
So it was
right. But then, you know, and once again, they eat sugar grits and they're not loved and they don't deserve brown liquor.
No one loved you as a child.
But I watched that hype build up online. And mm-hmm. every week you would see a new conspiracy. Like, oh, it's going to be Mephisto. Oh, they're going to bring in all the X-Men. I'm like, why are y'all setting yourselves up to be mad?
Yeah.
I don't even mind that you do that. Like, I did that. Like, I was like, listen,
I really need to see Steve Rogers and Isaiah Bradley. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't happen, how are you going to be mad at some shit you made up in your mind?
Right.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Why are you mad? Right.
That's, yeah, that's a difference between
you made
like,
that up in what, your head, dog.
I think there's a difference between like what you said right now, where you were like, it would be cool if they did this. That would be, yeah. I would love to see this.
You
and then
that.
Going like motherfuckers was making podcasts and reviews and shit being like, listen, so when they show this symbol in the background, that is the same symbol from the, and I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Why are you doing all that when they show this symbol?
Right.
You mean the way the light kind of reflected off the wall? That's what you're talking about? We didn't plan that.
So clearly, Tobey Maguire is going to come through as Spider-Man. And that's when I'm like, that's not, why are y'all keep making this shit up? Because they ain't going to act like the show bad because the show didn't do the crazy shit you made up.
You saw in your head.
Right.
That's like when I talk to musicians on the podcast, I'm interviewing them stuff like, what? You didn't try to be all James Lipton-y and like, what were you thinking when you made this record? Was it about the trees and the substance of femininity flowering through the earth? And he's like, the guy's just like, I just wrote that song. I just wanted to write it. And I wasn't thinking about anything. And you're like, oh,
just in my head. Just
I wrote it in 15 minutes.
Thought it sounded cool.
Yeah.
I like the way to rhyme the pentatic meter worked out. I don't know.
he was like, oh, okay, because I thought that you
I was sitting in the bus.
Is that what you got humming. From it? Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, like that episode, something else from something different from it. I don't know what to tell you, man.
It's like that episode of Black as Fuck where you had the painting.
Oh yeah.
He kept explaining the shit.
Yeah.
Explaining the shit to everybody. Everybody's like, all right, if you say so.
And you know what's funny is when he brought the artist and I was like, no, cut the scene away. Yeah. Let me hear what the artist has to say about the show.
Yeah.
What does he have to say? Hey, cut the shit off. Don't cut it off.
I think that show's underrated, man. People tried to get mad about it, but that show, like,
by the way,
brilliant.
What did y'all think of underrated? What did y'all think of the first episode of We Ain't Gonna Go Deep?
Okay. Like
this first Black Lady sketch show. What y'all think of the first?
Oh, that CCC shit. I was like, oh.
Oh my God. Y'all know I was fucking like.
Did they steal that from Randolph?
I was going vanilla. I was like, CCC.
Hey, look, I had watched it before Randolph and I was on Three Guys On yesterday. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm like, I'm going to watch it probably tonight. And I knew I was going to love it.
You knew I was going to love it.
I was like, yeah, well, you know, check it out, brother. When you get
seat,
a chance.
Seat. They came right from the last
when she hit that seat.
We talked about the show. It's like you throw your best pitch. Go ahead and throw your best pitch. First episode, throw it. That's throw the fastball.
Is that her same character, the woke character?
Yeah, it's the same character. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one that was at the wedding?
Yeah, she was at the wedding.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, it looked like she's going to be doing
all through the show. She all through the first season, she will pop up in different places.
Yeah. That's what it looked like in the preview.
She called her Hurtep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like she was interviewing Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, that's going to be later on. See.
Maybe if I rap it to you.
I guess I got to rap it. I thought of Michael Eric Dyson.
Oh my God.
The
mashup was pretty funny.
The court sketch.
Yeah.
I
love how Laz Alonso was fucking it up as a black guy because he just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Like, they was like, oh, man. Like, we almost had Black Lady Courtroom.
Y'all better pose. I love that sketch. I like the whole. So, that when they came out the box, like, okay, we're going to come out the box.
Yeah.
With the high fastball. We coming out the box with the high fastball and everything will go after that. You know,
yeah.
I was listening to Larry Wilmore talking about the writing and stuff. She wrote the whole, Robin Theater wrote the whole courtroom sketch on her own because they lost a lot of their writers.
Right.
Because of the pandemic.
So and did like, you see the outtakes?
Oh, that was hilarious.
Funny. Yeah.
The outtakes could be the fucking in the show.
Hilarious. Yeah. You could do that, but I like them. I like them.
I'm just saying that's how good they were. Like normally you see an outtake and you're like, well, that I get why it's the outtake. It's not as funny as what you kept. Yeah. The outtakes were the same quality level of what they kept.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's just like, we're going to shoot five of these.
Right.
And we're going to pick the best of the five.
Cut it together.
We got five A's and one A+.
Right. Well, we can't just throw the shit away. We'll show it on them. We'll show it on the back end. Yeah. It's so good. They're so good.
Now, I loved it, man. I love that meta shit they did with the MASH
house. Yeah, I like that. I was like, oh, like shit. The MASH shit came true. Nobody's ever done that before.
Right. That's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Right. And it take, and I love the way they entered the sketch. It's like I said, it reminds me a little bit of Kids in the Hall and Mr. Show. And because it's not a direct, like, we present an idea, we go directly into it. It's like they start with the fortune teller, and you're like, where the fuck is this going? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. And you're putting it together in your mind, and then when you get there, you're like, MASH. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Fortune teller sketch was great. Yeah. She took the hat off and she was bald. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Omarion was like, did you think you could touch me?
And then the fact that it was Omarion, because that's what was hot when they was in.
Yeah, that's MASH, hilarious. Right?
I was gonna marry Omarion. I know you was gonna marry Omarion.
And I love that they took, she always Robin Thede goes an extra level with it. Like when she jumped in the fucking car head first and shit, I was like, you know that cracked everybody up. Yeah, I thought that.
She dove in the head first with her feet out the back. Yeah. I said, oh, that's a good touch.
I'm like, you know, everybody on the set was just like, hold your laughter. Oh my God. Okay, that's fucking crazy. We didn't think you would
cut.
Do
that. Oh shit. You know, I thought that Kim Cole's character was the addition of Kim Cole. Like who would think to go get Kim Cole's?
Yeah. They would.
You know who we need? Know. Kim Cole's. Yeah. I thought that was great, you know,
like the bank hold up sketch thing.
Yeah,
yeah, so good, man.
Yeah, what? Oh God. Chris, so your buddy here can listen to you later.
Oh, we're gonna be. I got the. Just look through my Twitter, look through my tweets, and it's a Zoom link. We'll probably just stream it on YouTube also, since this is working.
Are you listening?
I'll just, you know, you can text me. I'll
yeah,
a link or something. Yeah.
Yeah. She watched that bullshit. I'm not.
I'm doing it because, you know what? I just want to do something.
You do. That's what you do, man. That's why you're doing it.
I normally don't watch it either. Like I'm starting a Mayor of Easttown podcast recap show. Because it's a limited series, the Kate Winslet show on HBO Max.
And you know what? I haven't sat down and watched it. I'm gonna sit down with it.
It's really fucking good.
I like her. I've always liked her. Even before she looked like she wanted to bang out Idris.
Oh, I love that. Made me love her even more.
What show is it?
It's called Mayor of Easttown.
She's like a detective.
And she's a detective in southeastern Pennsylvania. She's got the accent going. And it's like
she does her work. That's one thing I like about
it. It's like a kid. She's got an open case from a year before. Another girl gets murdered. A girl gets murdered. She's got to face her demons and solve these cases.
I'll tell you one thing about an HBO detective show. They love killing some kids.
I love it though.
Oh yeah,
HBO detective show.
Nothing unites us all like killing children.
And the girl in this show that gets killed is adorable. Like she's sweet. She a loving mother.
They love nothing more. It's like that's what separates HBO from all the other stations. Is like, listen, I read your script. We appreciate the pitch meeting. Noticed a lack of killing kids. Is it possible to make this person that dies 3 years old? All right,
we're not greenlighting it. Green light.
Can we kill some kids here? Killing children brings us all together.
True detective.
I need you to figure out how it is that we can have some dead children in this.
I just don't have to show it. I just think we need some
evidence.
So we got a script for True Detective. We got Mahershala Ali attached. Looking like maybe we can get us a show. Only all right, problem okay. is,
okay. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you killing kids in this?
Yeah. We can.
Okay. All right.
We can add some dead kids.
Can is not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for. Okay. Yes.
We will add some dead kids if that.
All right. I think we can do this.
See you Monday.
We'll start the location.
Every fucking show, man.
It's so good.
What was that show with what's my girl Cynthia Erivo was in it?
Yes. Shit.
You know what I'm talking about? You know that what? Was weird.
That's
was
a weird. That's a Stephen King novel that I read. Mr. Mercedes? Was it, no, it wasn't Mr. Mercedes.
I'll find it.
The book is the one before.
That's the one Jason Bateman.
I think the book was called is the Outsider. Mr. Mercedes.
That's, I think you're right.
The Outsider.
Right. Yeah, it's based on a Stephen King book.
Okay.
And the book is bananas. Actually, I take that back. That book comes after Mr. Mercedes.
Okay.
You're right. You're right, Rod.
And so when I saw it, I was like, they're not, there's no way they can do what's in the book and the shit.
And let me guess. It was the kid killing that got it in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's kid killing in it.
Yeah, there's always kids.
In a Stephen King book, you're gonna get some kid killing. And Stephen King believes in killing children. No, yeah. he believes in that shit.
They call that term fridging. And that's fridging? Like, yeah. I don't know why, but I thought
is that what that's called? I thought fridging was when you like
kill somebody's girlfriend or wife or something.
Yeah, like a take them and put them somewhere where they like you have to save them.
Yeah, let me see.
Basically, the character doesn't get any development because it's like, yeah, my beautiful wife, and then she spends the whole rest of the show like in a warehouse waiting for you to get her.
Fridging is the practice of killing off or hurting a minor character in order to motivate or torture a main character. Mm-hmm. The term comes from the world of comics, describing an issue of Green Lantern in which the hero's partner is killed and stuffed in a refrigerator for the protagonist to find. Jesus Christ.
Shit. How the Hal Jordan Green Lantern? I wonder if
comics used to be dark as fuck.
Yeah. That's a DC comic too.
That's what they were.
That's before they probably, I bet you that's before they passed them fucking these whatever them laws are.
Yeah.
Where it's like you can't show this shit in a comic book without a warning.
That's what they were worried about with DC, The Last of Us Part 2. Like, yeah. You know, they thought they were, well, nobody cares. Except
they're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right when you get it. You're going to be all right with it. Mm-hmm. You still going to buy it?
Still buy what?
The Last of Us to Part 2.
Dude, I bought it almost a year ago.
That's what I'm saying. It's a, what did you say you were worried about?
Oh, the TV
about
show?
You ain't got to
know. Oh, he's talking about the TV show. You going to watch
the TV show?
Yeah, I would love to be in the fucking TV show.
Oh, well, we know that.
I'd be in.
Listen, I would love nothing.
To be in the TV show. Even just
I would love nothing more than Chris as an adorable black man and his little brother getting killed. I would love nothing more than that.
Oh, get eaten by a clicker or a shambler.
I love nothing more than that. Run, Ellie.
I've already been on two HBO shows, twice on one. And one
you could be Ellie's magical Negro.
Yeah, leave me behind.
I'd love to do that. That would be fucking awesome.
You know,
just the pivotal role, and it's that pivotal role, that pivotal scene.
The guy that goes back and holds the gate. You know that motherfucker. That
yeah.
Hold the door,
Lord Ellie.
I just realized we can't get out of here if all of us run to the door. Someone has to hold the gate.
Ellie, I guess you are going to be. The Last of Us.
Remember me.
There's always some noble ass black person running back to hold the gate.
You see the way he died for that white girl?
That's another sketch we should do. We should have a sketch where the magical Negro refuses.
I love the
Oh, I was thinking about your sketch last night, Rod. I was thinking about your sketch.
Yeah.
The dude is walking down the street, and as he's walking, he's singing trap music to himself. So you just see him walking and just kind of singing some trap shit as he's walking up on the bomb.
Oh, Chris,
that's
you'll
the
get
opening
this.
Scene is him right. Walking, singing trap music to himself.
I love
this. Chris, you'll get this joke Monday.
Okay, when I listen to the show.
Yeah, when you
okay.
Hit three guys on.
I love the sketch on In Living Color called the Pookie Awards. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Black most scared black person in the movie.
Yeah.
And when I was doing theater in Chicago, there were like a series of awards that they would give out. Mm-hmm. And we would call them the Pookies because it was like, oh, this this nigga trying to get a Pookie. He acting hard, like trying to act, overact and shit, like acting more than you need to act. Man, this nigga trying to
what
get a
Pookie.
What
light on yon window breaks? It is the dark. Yeah. Why are you doing so much?
Mama, the rent is due on Thursday. And the Pookie goes to... Leonard Jenkins for Mama, the rent is due on Tuesday.
It's a fine line, man.
Oh my God.
Girl, your feet's too big to slow dance with Jesus. Don't you know?
And it was just like, no, come on, man. Just do the scene like it's supposed to. Hey,
Chris, I got to ask you this. I mean, you probably, I don't know if you watch this kind of shit, but are you going to watch them?
I'm 3 or 4 episodes in.
Okay.
So you are watching it. Okay.
I like it. It's fine. It's heavy. Like I tweeted a couple weeks ago. I was like, I'm never going to like any of those white actors again.
Yeah, they're doing a good job.
And I like Allison Pill. You know that white girl. I like white girls, but.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, I can't look at her the same no more.
Yeah,
that is
hard. Doing them roles.
The teacher that told her, they told a little black girl she was disrupting the class, sent her to detention. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not.
But yeah, I finished it.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I actually
loved it. You finished it all the way. Okay. All
right, I was shocked how much I loved it. I've been waiting to see what other people that I respect.
This has become my thing now.
Yeah, I do that a lot too. I'm like, I'm only fucking with people that I respect.
Yeah, that respect is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Yeah. A lot of motherfuckers I don't respect giving opinions, and I'm just skipping them.
My thing now is like, they be hiring a lot of British people to do this stuff, and it's like, I can't hate or nothing, but it's like, I want to go over there, dog. I want to go over there. If I could build my credits up enough to say, like, to me to go do like a BBC series where I could play a fucked up cop like Kate Winslet, I would fucking love it.
I would love to see it.
That's like the ultimate dream.
Yeah, because like, I love to see black actors from here do accents and take on people from other places.
British people don't like when we do English accents.
Well, I think either Daniel Kaluuya or Damson Idris was like, when black people do it, all you got to do is like, you hang out. You got to hang out with them. Hang out with them. And if you hang out with those people, you'll get it. Like, you'll understand.
Yeah. I do it all the time when I'm around Jamaicans. I kind of start talking with a lilt. I can't do it like Romaine can do. He just turn it on, turn it off. But when I'm around them, I start to kind of talk with that same lilt.
Because that
mocking me? I'm not mocking you.
Because that was the thing that was... That was the thing that was fascinating to me about small acts, was because it was a culture that I'm not aware of. And it just became like, are they a little more uncut than us with their blackness and their Africanness?
Maybe
to a certain degree, probably, but it's just like, I like it. Like, I like those stories, and you know, I'd like to see it and like to be immerse myself in it, especially as an actor.
I don't think anybody likes those. No culture likes when another culture does their accents and shit, because like small acts I loved, and then my friend who's Jamaican was like, yeah, the Jamaican accents weren't that good, and I was just like, of course, the same way some niggas are like, you know, Damson Idris doesn't sound like American to me, and Snowfall, I'm just like,
that's just because they know if he's, I think with this role I was trying to, what, that nigga's from London?
Right.
Have you thought about going abroad and acting abroad? Have you thought about going to London and trying to immerse yourself?
If I book something, you know, but I think for now, it's like, I'm trying to book shit over here. And
Does nobody do that in school when y'all are in school? Like, let's go abroad for
not our program, but some people do. Like, they go to the, like, BADA and they study over there. And I would like to do something there, but like, I think I'm on the verge of like just becoming somebody that works a lot, and I'm getting to the point where the stuff that like I'm getting characters with names now.
Right.
So
right,
I don't know if the competition level, like
Chris, you're gonna be playing Cephas.
No,
who?
No.
Not like black Cephas. Guy. You're not gonna be playing bystander.
No,
the last 3 auditions I submitted, were 2 of them had names, and 1 was like prison guard.
Yeah,
which I wouldn't mind doing. Obviously, I'd do it because the quality of the work is good. Like, it's like, I don't get sent any real bullshit anymore. It would be like more lines in a big time show.
Right.
So it's just kind of like I'm at the point where like casting directors like me. There's something, I'll tell you some stuff off mic one day, but And it's just getting to the point where it's like, okay, well, I know that
you're a likable guy, but when does that translate into work?
Oh, it's getting there. You know, hopefully. But I like with the pandemic.
Not
and
to sound like your dad or anything that's like that.
No,
like,
my dad.
We're gonna get some work, motherfucker. You know.
No, my parents are. My parents are proud. You know, but I think it'll.
Yeah, your dad is hella supportive.
Yeah, I think it'll get there, but like it's just frustrating now, because I came up really close to some stuff. Where it was like, oh, they went with their friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, you can't like get in the way of that.
Yeah, you ain't getting that.
Yeah. But on that note, guys, this has been amazing. I had a great time. Yeah, I had a great time talking to you guys about this show. I think it's really important, and it's gonna last for a long time, and it's gonna inspire more young Black kids. Yep. To do stuff, to do cool
if
shit.
It inspires just one Black child.
Yeah.
Then it's all worth it.
Anthony Mackie was great on Questlove Supreme talking about his family. And he was saying, like, it's worth listening to. And I'm going to butcher what he said, but he was just talking about, you know, and coming up, his grandfather had to study agriculture. So like his dad could study like landscaping or something. Mm-hmm. So then he could sit in a room and taste fake coffee and be like a, you know, be That's an funny. Actor. Like do like he I'm butchering what he said, but it's worth going to listen to how he talks about family and heritage and all that stuff like that. So it made me have I always had respect for Anthony Mackie because he went to Juilliard and he had like postgraduate training. And I kind of looked up to him in a lot of ways when I was coming up. So it's great to see him in this. Everybody.
I always respected that he learned to shut the fuck up and win. Like
that's true.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was doing a little too much in his interviews. And then somebody got to him and said, "Hey man, you don't really even got to do all this. Just make the money. We'll," and he did that, and now it's like night and day with his career. It's amazing.
Yeah Well guys, plug some stuff. Rod, you go first.
Listen, check out Three Guys On, okay? Join the Patreon. I'm a member of the Patreon. I'm on there often. I love going on there. They do live shows on Saturdays on YouTube. You can join the chat room on Zoom if you're a Patreon, of a higher tier. And yeah, I love it. So y'all should check them out, man. And they're on everywhere you get podcasts.
I'll go. Y'all need to check out the Black Guy with Tips on Spotify. They're big timing over there now. You need to go on over there. You don't have to buy you can just get the app, just get the free app. You can listen to it on that. You don't have to go all out. You might want to do a little bit of something, but it don't matter because Ron and Karen are getting that money anyway. So exactly. Just get the app and listen to the Black Guy Tips over there.
And if I'm on the Nerd Off sometimes. I did it once, and I want to come back.
There you go.
You will, man. Listen, any shit, Randolph, you can come on the Nerd Off too. I always compartmentalize my friends into these areas, like they don't do a bunch of other shit. So I got to invite Randolph on to talk about nerd shit.
I'll come. You let me know.
I picked up that Ironheart comic. But I should be reading that Michael Bendis one first, though, right? Before Eve.
Yeah, that's the one that started it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you recommend doing that Marvel, getting it online so I could look at it on my computer instead of
Comixology?
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Okay.
Do you like that?
I like it, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I like the ability to read
comics in my hand. I like the tactile of
it. Yeah. I mean, obviously that's, you know, each individual, but for me, I'm off that. So
yeah.
I read my books on Kindle. I read my and I just mostly like the Kindle stuff so I can archive it.
Right. Because
I like being able to just hit the notes button and just go. That's what James Baldwin said. Yeah. James said it. Right, page 35.
In the meantime, I'm writing this shit in a fucking note, in a little notepad, little moleskin notebook. I'm writing shit.
down. Yeah. You know, my wife is going that route. I like the tactile experience of
understood. And then with the comics,
one of the last dinosaurs doing that.
With the comiXology, what I like is you can borrow books and then just return them. And so you have to pay for them. And so I did that with Invincible, which is on Amazon. I just read the first 10 volumes of that shit for free. So
okay. Because I downloaded the Marvel app yesterday. And when I texted you that picture of Invincible, I went to a comic book store that's like minutes away from where I live. And, you know, I kind of like supporting the small businesses as much as I can. And I was like, I wasn't looking for that particular one, but like they were so nice looking for it for me. And I was like, I'll buy it. Like whatever you bring me, I'll buy it. And so I got to maybe figure that out. But I think I'll probably try the app. I download
the other thing, Marvel too, app. Is I take screenshots and I'll share them sometimes. So
okay. I see them.
I watch those.
That's the other reason I like it. But listen, no right, no wrong way. Support your people, man. Right.
No, I always ask you. I always ask people that know more than me about stuff.
I used to go support my local shop when I lived closer to it, but now it's like across town, so I haven't gone in a while.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of getting into these toys, man. But that's another expensive.
I haven't gotten into that. I got a bunch of free toys. I took a picture the other day. Yeah. We used to get them from... Loot Crate and all these sponsors, they just send us a bunch of shit. And I was like, fine.
Is Rodimus Prime your favorite Transformer?
Optimus Prime is my favorite Transformer. And it should be everybody's.
Rodimus or Optimus?
Optimus is my favorite, and he should be everybody's.
Okay. I mean, I like him.
You know, Rodimus is on the list. He gets underrated. He gets a short shrift. I think he got a bad rap from a lot of people. But he's a good dude.
I just never asked you that.
Yeah,
I just bought the Rodimus, Hot Rod, this figure. I ordered him, and it looks so much better than the toys we had as kids. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God, this looks fucking incredible.
Now, Hot Rod was the shit, the sports car version of him.
Yeah.
Rodimus Prime is like a minivan.
It's weird that he turned into a Winnebago.
Yeah.
He upgraded by turning into a Winnebago. Toy.
Yeah. I'm like, this shit ain't cool.
They should have made him the A-Team van.
Right.
It's weird. It's weird that
it's like a minivan with fire decal on the side. I was like, no one thinks this is cool.
Rise, Rodimus Prime, to a Winnebago.
You got the touch.
I'm like, all right. Okay. Yeah, it is kind of weird. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, this has been tremendous, and thank you everybody for listening. Everybody that did the maiden voyage of signing on to YouTube, and we will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.